Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Beauty Talk. I'm your host, Janice Tanell, for tonight, Thursday, October 21st.
Hello.
And hi, we're on here with Taya Wright for part two of our conversation. But before we get into that, I just want to remind those who are listening that the call-in number, if you have a question for Taya, is 914-803-4399. Again, it's 914-803-4399. I also have to ask that if you are listening to the conversation through your phone, I would appreciate it if you guys would listen from your computers, because we're trying to get as many callers through tonight as possible. There were a few callers last week who didn't get through, one, because the phone lines were tied up, and then two, we ran out of time. So we have Kaya tonight for an hour. We're trying to get as many callers in as possible. First, before we start speaking to Kaya, we have some beauty news, and Denise is going to handle that.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the Beauty Lounge. First, I want to start off again just by reminding everyone that for every view of Episode 2 of Beauty Talk, we will donate $1 to Susan G. Komen for the Cure. So make sure you go out and check that out. That's youtube.com/illusionscosmetics. Also, we're going to have a giveaway for Episode 2, and details for that will be coming next week on next week's show. And on our blog, we'll give you details on the giveaway for Episode 2 of Beauty Talk. And lastly, the Empire Academy of Makeup is holding a one-day bridal workshop next week, Wednesday, October 27th, from 5 to 10 p.m., and it's a hands-on class, and the registration deadline for that class is tomorrow. So if you're interested in that class, please contact the Empire Academy of Makeup.
Cool. Welcome to the show, Kaya. Hello. Oh, I'm sorry, y'all. I have her muted. Hold on. Hold on.
Hello.
Hello. Are you there, Ty? I'm sorry. I never took you. Off of mute.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you fine.
Oh, okay. Hello. How are you guys?
Happy to be back.
Good.
Thank you. Glad
I got
to
more
have
time.
You back.
You have more time. I canceled my book so I can be here the full time.
Oh, well, thank you for that. We appreciate that.
Yeah, I was like, I don't think I could do it today.
Right.
I had to, like, cancel out so I can focus.
Focus,
so what's going
right.
on out there?
Well, we have loads of people on the phone. Some are just listening, but I see someone from the 917 area code who wants to speak, so I'm going to bring them in, and there's a couple of questions that we wanted to get through. So let's just get started with a caller. Is that okay?
Perfect.
Okay, cool. Hello. How are you, caller? You're calling from 917-418. How are you? Hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. My name is Jessica.
Hi.
Hi, Kaya.
Hi, Jessica. Hi, Jessica.
Oh my
How are you?
I'm fine. Oh, my God. Hi. Nice talking to you. Well, I did have a question. I did have questions for you. Oh, my goodness. I can't believe I'm on the phone with you. But I love you, Kaya. You're the best. I'm so inspired by you. Oh, my goodness. Gilly was looking for
you.
Are you a hairstylist?
First off, are you a hair? Yeah, I want to know, are you a hairstylist?
Yes, I'm a hairstylist at Rosa Vida Institute.
Are you currently in beauty school?
Yeah, I am. I go to Avita Institute. It's in Soho, New York. It's great. I love it. And I just had a couple of questions because since I'm in beauty school and I wanted to be an editorial stylist, I just wanted to know if you had, like, any information of how should I go about that. I'm building my portfolio as of now. I'm just basically just trying to make it to where you are.
Okay. How old are you?
I'm 23.
23, perfect. That's a great, young, inspiring, aspiring age to just be everything. That's the perfect age.
Oh my goodness.
We're gonna try to keep it to a minimum questions because if last time we couldn't get through everybody, so let's try to try to keep it to a minimum, and then I'll get to talking forever too. So let me keep it to a minimum too. But basically, you just want to know how I got started, how I got to where I am, pretty much. That's pretty much.
Yes. Oh my goodness. I mean.
It's not in a nutshell, but in a nutshell, it's really about hard work. And first, I would really work on perfecting my craft and figuring out what my niche is. Because you can work in a salon full of people, and if you don't, like, you can be just good, the girl that just gets those edges straight when you do a press and straightening. You can be the girl that really is a great colorist. Or you could be the girl that gives the best round brush, blow dry.
Yeah.
You can be the girl that gives the best weave. Like, so my biggest tip is it all starts really with pretty much the foundation. If I wasn't a good hairstylist, I wouldn't be able to get to where I am. Today, that's first. You got to be a great, great, great stylist. So how do you become a great stylist? You go to classes.
Focus and
you work around people.
Get.
You said what?
Focusing.
I'm sorry.
I said just focus and learning everything I can learn from anybody, everybody, basically putting my art out there.
Yeah, and that's perfect. Anytime anybody asks to do test photo shoots or cutting classes or whatever it takes to be the best, you just can't be lazy about it. You have to be just hungry, constantly hungry. Like even when you get to the place where you get this huge clientele, what are you going to do next to be great? Are you going to just plateau out? And that's what happens with a lot of stylists. They get to a certain point, and they're like, oh, I want to open up my shop. And then opening up their own shop, they feel like, oh, that's the best thing to do. But then it's just their shop, and then they just hire other stylists under them that aren't allowing them to grow. Or sometimes they might be better than them, and they feel like, oh, it's too competitive. Always work with the best. Always work with the best because that was something I spoke about last week. You want to be the best. So why not work with the best? Because if you claim you're already good, work with the best to make you better.
Exactly.
So that's pretty much.
Thank you so much, Kaya. You just blessed me today. Oh, my goodness. It's such a blessing.
Keep pushing. You're 23 years old. It should take you no time out of school.
And this is another thing, because I have a daughter, she's 3 years old, and I was just wondering, like, am I going to make it with a 2-year-old, or should I just try to slow down a little? Because I just want to do what I got to do my thing with this hair and keep it pushing. Like, oh, my goodness.
That's good.
Do a lot of traveling. So I'm just trying to see, like, will I make it because I have a 3-year-old, or just keep trying just to make it for her?
Keep doing it. Don't try. Trying is lying. If you're going to do it. Commit to it, and you get it done. Just like you committed to having a baby, then you already made the commitment to do it all. So do it all. If you have a plan B, then that means you don't believe in plan A. And that's really pretty much, like, it's just it. I made a firm decision on what I wanted my life to be like, and I stuck with the plan. And a lot of things, things happen in between, but I always stay focused. So, and I'm not even there yet, to me, in my mind. I'm not really there where I want to be, but I have accomplished a lot.
Oh, my goodness, you are there. You're there and beyond.
No, trust me, believe, I know I'm there. But in my mind, that's how I kind of keep myself pushing forward until I really get there, So keep doing what you're doing.
Thank you so much.
Doing
thank you.
Congratulations. I know you're going to be graduating soon, right?
I know, in December, and I'm going to be coming for you right there to Warren Sokobe.
That will be great. Come and visit me.
I will. I would love to.
All right. Thank you, Jessica. Have a good night.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye, Kaya.
Bye, guys. Bye.
Hi. Okay, Kaya, one of the questions that I had for you from last week while we're waiting for the callers, you know, you're known, of course, for your working with celebrities, but also the time and attention that you put into your everyday clients. How do you give your everyday clients that same Hollywood look or treatment, like if they may not necessarily be able to come to the salon every week?
That's something that I'm actually preparing for. You know, I mean, I've delved into it a little bit. Like, I am coming out with a product line, so I'm able to. Those are things that I will be doing. You know, lots of tutorials, lots of DVDs, a lot of how-tos, just a lot of, you know, things that I'm going to do to help that woman at home get that same look and offer her the products to do it. So I know I can't touch everyone, you know, but I'm definitely going to be right there with you in your home, teaching you how to do it, and then I'll be visiting you in your town too. So,
any plans for a salon?
My goal is I want to do something like I want to teach. I want to do it that way, more like an academy, you know, because you know it's. I think a lot of in the ethnic salons, you know, I think that the way we go into having our own salon, you know, ultimately it starts with, oh, I just want my own, I want my own, I want my own. And one of the reasons why I don't have my own salon, I could have had my salon a few times. I bought the corporation Beauty Bar before Beauty Bar salons even started 10 years ago. I just let the corporation go like a few years ago because I had this concept to open up my own beauty bar. So it let me know. When I let that go, it hit me. I was like, oh, my God, like, this is what I could have had and this is what I could have did, but it's so much more that I wanted to do. I wouldn't have come to L.A. I wouldn't, because I started that back in New York. And I just decided, like, it was a different calling for me. You know, I didn't want the stability. I like moving around a lot. I like, you know, traveling. I like those things. So in working with artists, it kept me on the road. So it actually kept me away from having my own salon because there was no way I was going to open it, spend all this money, and not be able to be there. You can't run a business from being on the road. It's impossible. So someone else will be running your business. So I decided to learn more about the business of owning your own salon. I always wanted to work at Warren Chacomi. My whole, like, when I first moved to New York, it was like a dream to work at Warren Chacomi, and it didn't happen. But when I walked in there, it just hit me like, oh, wow, that set the bar for what I wanted to have one day. I knew if it couldn't be that, I wasn't going to do it. And then I thought about, you know, a lot of the ethnic salons are just not ran the same. You know, they're not run with that corporate structure, business-minded sales. Like, a lot of those things just are not included in owning your own black salon. Take some commission, pay me booth rent every week. As long as I got a little change to put in my pocket, I'm good. That's not the business that I wanted to be in. I mean, 40% of your business is sales. If you walk into any black salon, are they selling products? Can you walk out the salon with the products that you just used? So what are we doing? So my goal is I want something like an academy where we have education on sales. I can teach you how to do hair. I can show you how to, you know, keep a whole, if you do a photo shoot, how many times, you know, can you find the pictures, calling the photographers, creating an invoice, keeping up with your, like, this is a job. And that's what a lot of stylists don't have the patience to do. So I run a business. I am a great hairstylist. It's a lot of things I have to maintain to be where I am today. Keep in touch with my friends, my network, my friends is in, like, Facebook, fans, subscribers. Like, it's a lot of work to this. So those are the things that I want to teach and share with other stylists on how to do it and how to maintain and manage it all. So
Yeah, I was just saying, you're talking about the salon where you work, and what kind of advice or what would you say to a hairstylist who may not work in that type of salon but who want to transition, you know, into that type of corporate type of environment, as you spoke of? You know, they want to diversify and learn more and move into a different type of salon environment. What kind of advice would you give them, or what would you tell them that they need to prepare for?
Start out just fearless. Fearlessness, you know, fearlessness. Just go out and just be fearless. You know, go out and do it. Work in that salon. Try to be an assistant at that salon. Take classes at those salons, and then you just start talking. You start asking questions like, "How, you know, can I work here?" Become friends with one of the owners. Like, you know, you got to just get in and be fearless. That was one of the things that I was very intimidated when I went to make the decision, which wasn't long ago. It might have been 5 years ago. You know, I made that decision. I was like, I want to transition. And I kept talking about it, and I realized the only thing that was holding me back was fear. So, I mean, it might have been like 6 years ago now, 5 or 6 years ago. And I just was like, I'm going to do it. And I went and I went out to like 3 to 4 places. Some people were really friendly, some people weren't. And I just, you know, one person just was like, come on, let's start. When do you want to start? And I was like, oh, my God, I can't believe it. And it happened to be Warren Tracone. So it was a dream of mine. It came true. It was later, but it came true. So.
Nice. I just want to remind people who are calling in, tonight we want to make our call-in number just for questions and comments. And I see about 5 people on the line who don't have their hand raised, so that tells me that they're just listening and not calling to ask questions. We'd like for you to listen via your computer if you can, so that we can get as many callers through, because we miss a lot of callers and we don't want to tie up the phone line. So if you continue to stay on the line, I'm hoping that you're going to ask a question and I'll be trying to bring you in the conversation. So please, I have a 912, a 919, a 302, a 313, and a 571 callers from those area codes. Please, if you're going to stay on the line, I ask that you ask a question. Okay, are there any questions from the chat room? Any comments?
Hold on, I just put it out there. Not as of yet. There was someone in the chat room who wanted to ask a question on the phone, but somehow she was kicked off the phone. So
just remind them that if you're calling in the number and you want to speak to the host, which is me, you have to push the option to speak to the host. Because what happens is when you push that option, it shows me a hand. That way I know that you want to talk. If I don't see a hand, I'm thinking that you're just listening. Okay, so I'm just going to go through and see if anybody wants to talk, because I can't tell by what I see here. So this is the 912 area code. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Hi, did you have a question for Kaya? Okay, so now I'm trying to bring in the 919 area code. Hello? Okay, so these people are just listening. They don't want to talk.
Okay.
Okay, I have a 302. Okay, here we go. 313.
Hello.
Hello. Hi.
Hi.
What's your name?
Dorca.
Hi, do you have a question for Kaya?
Yes.
Okay,
I would like to know, I'm just reentering the hair industry after about like 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
I've done hair sporadically on the side, but I want to reenter, and I'm feeling a little like, intimidated. My hands haven't been in hair in a while. So what do you suggest as one of the best methods to get my training and skills back up and confidence?
Okay, so hi, first of all, how are you?
Good, and you?
How are you? I'm good. So welcome back. to the hair world, first off.
Mm-hmm.
Are you still passionate about it? Do you really still want to do it, or is it something? Is it like a hustle, or is it something that you really want to do?
Passion. And I mean, oh, I'm sorry. Huh? Hello?
No, I'm listening. I'm listening.
Oh no, you go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was saying I'm listening to you. I was asking, is this something that you're passionate about, or is it like a hobby, or is it like a hustle? I just need money, and I can make some quick money. Like, what is it for you?
It's my passion. And hair is all I've done all my life until the last. I've been out of it 8 years. I went back to college every day, and I've been, like, in corporate the last 4 years, and it's like, oh, my gosh, what have I done? So, you know, I left for it. Huh?
Let me ask you one question. What made you stop doing hair to begin with? What made you stop?
A tragic loss in my family, and I just got fearful. It's like, okay, I need to try to do some other things now, you know, different obligations I had. So I went back and finished college and thought I need something more, you know, thinking stable.
Okay. So when you were doing hair, were you at a salon or were you doing it at home?
Salon.
Where were you doing hair? You were doing hair at a salon. How was your clientele?
It was good. And I just basically walked,
So you basically walked away and left all your clientele?
Yeah.
Wow. That was a big, like, I cannot imagine that. Like, I can't imagine because I guess I don't have another skill set in, you know, that sort of thing. So doing hair is like, wow. Like, I couldn't even imagine. Okay, so your question is, how do you get back? And what will it take? First off, I feel like you need to find your passion again. You have to find your passion for doing hair, loving it. Like, it just, in order to grow a huge clientele, you got to love it. You got to love it because people, your hands are in people's heads. They feel you love it. You know what I mean? Like, you have to stick with it. It takes you, it takes 5 years to build up a big clientele. A strong, solid 5 years to advertise, get yourself back out there, maybe do a few photo shirts of, you know, or two, or however many you need to do to just kind of build, to show your skill set, to show photos, to the portfolio. Like, how do you do that? So that means you're going to have to put that work in. For, like, at least the next 3 years, you got to put the work in. So.
Okay.
I mean, it's the same thing I told the young woman earlier, Jessica. Like, you got to get back into your classes. You need to get back into the salon if you have to start off slow, and you may have to transition from, I guess, where you're working currently back into the salon.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have to really go. It's going to be a real big jump, and it might be compromising on your finances. But if you're passionate about it, like you say you are, then it will happen because at that point you'll be jumping out on faith. Like, this is what I love. This is what I do. This is me. So you'll just, at that point, begin to attract clients. I mean, it'll flourish for you at that point, but you just got to stick with it.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay.
Yep.
That's it. It's like no real formula. There's no real formula to that one. I said it's no real formula to it.
And you know, I had a passion for it before, but it's like a stronger passion now. Once I left it and went to things that's not me, like corporate, that's not me. I'm not good at that type of stuff, and I'm like, what am I doing here? You know, so.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, it's going to be a leap of faith, and I'm just ready just to submerge myself just, like, totally in it and classes all the time and things like that to, you know, get my skill set back up and my confidence back.
That's it. And like I said, always go work with the best.
Yes.
Don't go to Susie's shop because Susie's shop got your homegirls in there. That's not going to help you build, and that's not going to help you be great. Your first year might just be going, I call it like class.
Yes.
Your first year might just be class. You know, you're going back in, you're saying, you're like, I'm going in, I'm just going to consider this like I'm going to college. My first 2 years of college, I'm going back to school to just get acclimated to the environment, can try to figure out how I can build some stability here. Like, just think about it like that.
Yeah.
And then after that, you got to have to make another year goal and be like, okay, this year I have to meet, I have to make, like I used to say things like, all right, I need to make 20, I used to say stuff like, I need to make $2,500 this week. I have to. I have to. But I wasn't so like, you know, like, I wasn't really focused on the money as much as I knew I had to meet, you know, a certain amount of clientele to maintain my booth rent. I had to, it was so many things I had to meet to make $2,500 it was so many, you know, I just built up this clientele. I had, you know, I had built up, like, I had to build up this confidence in myself. It was so many goals I had set for myself that I had to meet. And that's pretty much what you have to do. Just set some goals. A year, this is my goal. 6 months, this is my goal. 2 years, this is my goal. Set goals.
Okay. And like you were saying, I'm sorry, can I ask another or make a comment?
Okay.
Like you were saying how you wanted to make the transition going to Warren Trecomey Salon, and I'm from Detroit, and that's where I did hair. So primarily my clientele was, you know, Afro-American. And now I live in Arizona. So it's more diversified, and that's what I want to do, you know, different types of hair. I used to work, I lived out here like 8 or 9 years ago, and I worked at Tony and Guy. So that was totally different for me. So I want to diversify, but it is kind of intimidating, you know, to do a different type of hair I'm not used to. I'm like, oh, you know. So like you said, it's just overcoming the fear. You just got to get into it.
Yeah, that's it. It's a fear. It's the same fear I had when I came and I worked here. It was just like one day I said, today I'm taking my portfolio, I'm taking my book, and I'm going to go to 3 places, and somebody's going to take me in. And I just made up my mind, you know, it was what I really wanted to do, and it just happened. I probably went to 3 places, and he said yes, and it was done. So I was like, I put myself through all of that for nothing, you know?
So it's
just about really stepping out on faith and really sticking to it. So that's it, and create yourself some goals. Create some goals for yourself.
Okay. Well, thank you. Yeah.
Good luck. Congratulations.
Thanks.
When you call me back, you better tell me that you started.
Well, actually, I'm going to look for some salons, like you said. But should I have a portfolio?
So, if I'm a salon owner and I ask you, so let me see your work. What do you want to show me?
Okay.
Why should I trust you? I can't give you. I'm a salon owner. I can't give you this station for $300 a week or for commission when the next girl who walks in after you, she has a book, she has a clientele, she has passion, she has everything. How are you going to make your chances, you know, greater to outwin her? That's the goal. The goal is to, you know, try to walk in there as best as you can, and you can build it wherever. You can do it at your house and take pictures, you know, wherever. Or you start out as an assistant. And then you win the owner over, you know? Like, she just worked so hard. She worked so hard. We need to have her here, you know? We only hire assistants in our salon that we know are going to transition into hairstylists.
Okay.
So if that kind of tells you a little something, you know?
Yeah. Okay, so I guess I need to try to give me a portfolio.
Try. Work on it. Find your local photographers. I don't care if it's bridal. Like I said, find your niche. You never know. Like, you might can get in just doing the bridal circuit. Because they don't have anybody that does, you know, bridal circuit. You could go to the hotel, work at a hotel, the hot, popular hotel in that city. Arizona is a pretty, you know, it's an expensive town.
Yes, it is.
Pay attention to your market. That's really important. Pay attention to your market and pay attention to where you are, you know? Pay attention to everything around you. What do the women look like around here? Oh, I know. Oh, color. I might get specialized in color, you know? Find your niche. Find your gift.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling in. All right.
Thanks. All right.
That was a really good question, and you gave us some really good information. We have some more questions from the chat room.
Okay. Gorgeous Ingredient is asking, Kaya, can you speak about the importance of assisting when coming out of school, and how does it benefit the new stylist?
It's huge. I think that's something that, you know, I've said, you know, a few times, you know, assisting is key because you're fresh out of school. You're, like, totally, you're hungry, you're ready. You just want to learn, you know what I mean? And it's the best time because you just, like a sponge, you just want to learn everything. And
right.
you're open to it when
right.
you're young and fresh and you're like, this is it, this is everything. You know, so assisting is the best. And I would try to work for, like, the toughest, you know, best stylist. Always.
Right.
Because that's how you learn, you know. And that's how you learn to kind of, you know, we have stylists in here, like, and everybody's temperament is different. Like, my temperament may be different than the next temperament. It's just like working with your client. Some
mm-hmm.
days your client comes to the salon, she doesn't even want to talk. And you
right.
have to know when to not talk too much to her that day or not. And it's the same as when you're an assistant and you work for a stylist and you have to be there, be like their left hand. Like a lot of times my assistant is like my left hand. Like, I cannot even function without her. Because I've taught her everything that I know. And I say to her every day, I'm like, I hope you're really absorbing everything that I'm giving you. Because one day I'm going to throw you one of these celebrity clients.
Right.
Because I can't do it or I'm booked. And there's your opportunity, bam, just like that.
Right.
And that's just how it happens.
So you've got to always be ready.
You got to always be ready and fully equipped and fully just ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, now we have a call from the 302 area code. Let's see.
Hello.
302.
Yes.
Hello.
My name. Hi, can you hear me?
Hello? Yes, we can hear
yes.
you.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Hello?
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 Uh-huh.
Yeah, we can hear you.
You might can't hear us, huh?
Can you hear us?
Yes, can hear us, yeah.
Did you unmute her?
Yeah, she's on, yeah. 302, can you hear us? We can hear you, 302. We can't hear you now, but we did. Okay, well, we'll take a, I'll ask another question until she gets back.
Let me ask a question, and this is just a personal, this is just for myself, and it's about thinning edges. What
thinning
is the best thing for thinning edges?
Give them a break. give thinning edges a break. I mean, that is like a constant. That question is like a constant question, especially like in the Black communities, especially for weave wearers, especially for relaxed people that wear their hair relaxed.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, color. Our edges are so freaking fragile, you know, and any chemical, anything that takes it out of its natural state,
mm-hmm.
you have to it, care for it, treat it, tie it up with a silk scarf, not just, I mean, and you have to really, like, people tell me all the time, oh, I tie up my hair and then I'll look. Like, I have a friend, she ties her hair up, but then she wants her ears out. I'm
right.
like, why are your ears out?
Right.
You don't need to hear, that's
you
me. Hear anything in sleep.
That's
if
me.
You're sleeping, but he's here. So I'm like, what, cover your ears and your hairline so that at the, in the middle of the night, the scarf isn't slipping back.
Right.
Like, and it happens all the time. And I watch, I mean, I have a really good friend and she says that. And I'm like, I watch it. I'm like, lady, you're not tying your hair up. Let's tie it up properly. Let's treat it with conditioner weekly if that's what it needs. I mean, and if they're bald, you might just need hair replacement, you know? Like,
okay.
you know, they have companies and doctors that can do hair replacement.
Yeah, I don't think I'm going to need all that, but I'm just going to make sure I cover my ears next time.
If you relax, and if you wear a relaxer, a lot of times, like, even when I was younger, like back in the day when I used to relax when I was on the East Coast,
mm-hmm.
I used to go right from the edges first. You hit the T, you know, you go in the four sections, and you go right down that center, you
mm-hmm.
go right across that crown, and then you go right for the edges because most people are like, oh, I need my edges straight. So that means that the relaxer is sitting on the edges like 20 minutes longer before you even got to the back.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So now I always say I make sure I base it so much to where it's really, really greasy. And then I put my relaxer on. I start in the middle. I do the back. I do everything. And I do the edges the very, very last.
Right.
That's a big, huge tip for stylists out there. Always do the edges last. Because our hair, we can't take 20 minutes of the relaxer sitting on your edges. And then behind that, a lot of stylists are working in the relaxer in another two times.
Right.
You don't,
right.
The hair is not supposed to be lifeless. It's just supposed to be relaxed. That's why it's called a relaxer.
Right.
So, yeah, but most people want to, like my clients will really, will go back and forth. I'm like the hair Nazi. So, and I'm not saying that I'm the best, I have all the answers. I've figured out a way that really works for myself and just for the clientele. You know,
mm-hmm.
things that people had habits that I had before that I had to straighten up. And I also make sure that my assistant understands it. Like, it's like boot camp here. You can't just work for me and just be doing anything you want to do because, you know, it's a high-end salon, so people are expecting good service and great hair care, you know.
Right.
So, I make sure that they understand what I'm doing, and that's what makes a good stylist. You know, a lot of stylists pick up a lot of bad habits, but it shows in your clientele, in their hair.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
mm-hmm.
even when you're doing a weave, make sure that when you're doing a weave, you know, and that's something I'll be showing on my YouTube, and you know, I'll be giving classes later on. Just like everybody can put a weave in, but there are some little techniques that
mm-hmm.
really, really help preserve your edges. Cover your tracks, keep the length of your tracks longer. There are just some great little tips out there that I have learned and just accumulated over the years that, you know, I want to share too one day.
Mm-hmm.
So
now we have our 302 caller back. Hello, can you hear us?
Yes. I'm
okay,
so
great.
Sorry. My phone died. I apologize.
Oh, okay.
I was trying to call back so fast. I do apologize. I was
What's
calling.
Your name?
My name is Kia.
Okay.
Kia. I'm calling from Delaware.
Kia,
yeah.
How are you? Call me Kia for years.
Oh, I know. That's what I was calling you till I just heard that your name was Kaya. But,
yes.
Okay. So I was calling, just like your previous callers, I'm just getting back into the hair business. I've been away from it for some time, but ever since I was younger, I always said that I wanted to do hair. Went to a Votech High School, graduated, got my hair license, probably like 5 years after I graduated, because after high school I decided that, you know, I just don't want to do hair. I got sick of being known as Kia that does hair. So I was like, you know, I want to go to school for fashion. However, when I was in hair school at the time, like, finger waves were really big, and I got good at that. That was my specialty, and that was not a good specialty to have. I paid very little attention to cutting, very little attention to coloring, because I was making – like $300 and $400 a week, like at 14, like, you know what I mean? So
right.
To me, I was doing well. Like, however, got out of it when I went to school, started nannying, did that for like 10 years. I'm really just getting back into the hair business, and I really want to make this my career. This is what I, you know, this is what I've always wanted to do, and it seems like as much as I've tried to get out of it, whenever I found myself needing the dollar, it was always somebody's head that kept me afloat. I just had a baby, and I just figured that now is the time that I want to really, really put everything into it. I was thinking about going into the hair replacement field.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's kind of hard to break into, especially where I'm at. It's not really that large of a city, but it's really close to Philadelphia, about 28 miles away. So a lot of people, you know, go to the larger cities. I do work at a hair replacement salon now. However, the lady that I work for, she doesn't really want to pay, if you understand what I'm saying. Like, she doesn't want to give me a percentage of what
mm-hmm.
I'm doing. Like,
how long have you been working with her?
I've been working with her now just since July.
Okay.
And what happened is she had some back problems, and she had to go out, so she needed for me to, like, just do everything, not assist her anymore, like, do everything. So when I did that, like, she still wanted to pay me the amount of an assistant. And I'm like, no, but she didn't see a reason why, you know, she shouldn't.
Okay.
Talked about that. She's bumped it up a little, but I've noticed that she's bumped up the pay, but she's cut down the hours.
Okay.
So I'm just, like, trying to figure out, like, whether or not I stick with this whole hair replacement thing, because that has definitely been a passion. I love it. Something that I'm really, really good at. Or should I just transition probably back into the regular hair? Because usually when you work with these salons, you can't work at another one in that city or, like, within so many miles.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's kind of weird, but
what city do you live in?
I'm in Delaware. I'm in Wilmington.
Okay, you're in Wilmington. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. It's a lot here. Okay, let me digest everything you just said. Okay.
Yeah, I know, right?
One of the things that I love about what you said is that you have gone back to it and you have already started. You found your niche and you love it. So stop right there. First of all, you have been working with this woman since June. Let's count how many months that is. 5 months, 4 months?
It's about, 4 months.
Now, I'm going to be speaking to you just from this is just my personal opinion. It is not, you know, it's not like, you know, it's the end all be all, but it's just my personal opinion. And I've been in business as well as being a hairstylist a really long time. And ultimately my goal is just to become a businesswoman. And I've been observing that, you know, thoroughly in these last few years. You have been with this woman for 4 to 5 months working in the salon. You have asked her, you feel that the work that you've done warrants a percentage of her clientele. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
This is just my advice. For you to have worked for her for 4 to 5 months, that does not warrant for you to get a percentage of her clientele. She is teaching you something that if you had went to school, you would have probably paid $10,000 to $25,000 to learn. You are there learning. And this goes back to black stylists. Most of the time, I want my own salon because now I done learned something. I think I'm good. Now I'm ready to go and pop up a shop down the street. Two things you said I think were great. It's great that people can't just open up down the street and open up a hair replacement shop and you haven't even been doing it long enough and that's what you feel like you're so great at. This is like how people really think, and I'm like, it's not right.
Right.
What she's giving you, you cannot get anywhere else, and you said you love it. That's two things.
I do. I like it a lot.
That's great. And guess what else about that one? It's lucrative. It's super lucrative because now – and you can stem off from it so many ways. You stick it out. You stay there and you tough it out because it's like you're in school. And this woman is teaching you. Without you working for her, you're going to learn how to troubleshoot. Like every case is not the same.
Right.
So you're there with this woman. You are learning everything. That is a gift.
Now, let me just cut you off really quick. Okay. I am. Like, I did this when I was in New York. That's where I got introduced to it. I did it in Manhattan, and I also did it in Atlanta. What I find with this particular lady, she's ran her business by herself for 5 years. We met at the right time because she was having some back problems, again, so she needed help. However, she doesn't want to pay even for the little that I do. She's really having a hard time with paying. Even when it comes time for me to get paid, it's like, oh, do you mind waiting until Tuesday? No, I don't mind. I mean, yes, I mind waiting. I mind waiting. Like,
no,
I don't want to wait.
Okay, so she's like, not a good businesswoman, and you didn't learn it from her. You're saying you've been doing this for a while, but this is where you are right now. Okay, so basically, you can't work with someone whose business ethics are not intact. So what you have to do is... your option is to find a salon. You've learned from her. You probably might have even gained a little bit of a clientele. Out of that clientele from her, you probably will end up having a few of those women if you're really, really good at it. That should really be the goal, is to just become really, really good, get your rhythm, maybe even ask her, can I bring in a few people too who need it, And now you have a place you can do it at. She'll probably allow you to do it there because she can't do it. One thing is for sure, if you can't, if you're in a situation, you've given me all these other little road hurdles. We're not going to focus on the hurdles. We're going to just focus on how do we get around them. We don't focus on what we can't do. We focus on what can we do. Okay, so you can't work in these salons around the city. So let's figure out how do we make her work. So you let her know, if you can't do this and I'm coming in here to do it and I'm taking, you know, this amount of money for it, would I ask that, you know, we just keep our business ethics up, that I get paid on this day every single week. That at this point now, you're going to have to give her a few things, and then you're going to continue to absorb everything you need to absorb there and ask her, can you bring in clientele there, and you get the percentage on it that you feel it is worth. And within reason, because you are using her space, you are using her shampoo, her lights, her everything, her. So you got to be fair here, too. So you got to say, if I'm bringing in this clientele, then maybe you give me 70% and I'll give you 30, and then I'll do your clientele for you, and you give me this percentage, and I'd ask that you percentage or however, whatever she's paying you, maybe a little bit more, like you said, a little bit more, but I just don't want you feeling like she should give me 50% because I'm doing all the work. No, this is her clientele that she's working
for. Oh, yeah, totally not. Right, I totally don't think that.
You took the deal when you walked in. So now, 4 months later, it does not warrant, a raise. If you work for the corporate world, you'd have to be there a year, 2 years before you could even get a raise most times in this economy. So let's just be fair and be reasonable, but work it out where it works for you. Now, you bring in your clientele and ask her, hey, can we do a 70-30 deal? So now you win. Either way, you're doing a little bit of hers, you're doing a little bit of yours, but you're building yours at the same time. So when you want to leave, you can.
Right.
So my answer to you really is work it out and just take some of the things that I've said into consideration. Because we can go on and on and on and on and on, but you have to come to some sort of, like, okay, what's fair and how can I work this out and eat, feed my kids, and get what I need out of it.
And see,
right now I can't move. Exactly. So there you
and
have
see,
it.
That's,
mm-hmm.
But that's where I'm at right now with her. Like, I just see within these 4 months, like, I don't know. You just know certain things about certain people, and I just know that she's been used to running her business this way for so long, and she's used to her customers that it's really hard for her. And it's okay that it's hard for her.
If you go in, let's start here. Take the focus off of her and put the focus back on you. What do you need out of this? How are you going to turn yourself into the businesswoman that you have to be? You have a kid, so you have to figure out how to get what you need and give her what she needs until you can move around. And in the meantime, you should be figuring out where can I go and do this very same thing. But while you are there, be great at what you do. Give it 100%. I guarantee you will take probably 10% of her clientele with you, and then that clientele will be contagious.
Gotcha.
So focus on you. Focus on being really amazing at it. And anything she's not good at, you get better in. Period.
Gotcha.
That's it. Okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Preach, Kaya.
Well, I mean, it's just, because I think most of us, you know, in any business, we always think, oh, God, this is not working. I'm going to do something else. No, let's figure out how do we make this work?
Right.
How do we make this work before we opt to just leave it? Because there are, you know, I mean, you know, in my salon, you know, I'm on commission.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I share that with you guys. I'm on commission, but there's so many advantages of what comes to this. I have 3 stations. No one bother me. I can have a key to come in and out as I please. There's press. There's PR. There's an environment that I can bring my clientele to, and they can be comfortable. No one's making them feel uncomfortable. I'm the only black girl there.
Mm-hmm.
There's a black girl. There's a black girl called. You can't have no more of me. you know, and I figured out, like, okay, or I can go down the street to the other salon and I could pay a booth rent of $275 a week and put everything in my pocket.
Right.
Now, how about that? Weigh that out. Weigh that one out. You know what I'm saying?
But what are you learning down the street, though?
What am I learning down the street, and how am I growing down the street, and how am I getting what I need? Because remember, I few goals that I talked about. I want my own academy. I'm
right.
building a brand. I'm learning product knowledge. There are a lot of things that I'm gaining here that I wouldn't have gotten anywhere. I'm in the
right.
school. I'm in school right now. You know what
right.
I mean? These last 3-4 years for me have been school, too, because I'm learning as well. So, you know,
exactly.
that's about.
Exactly. Exactly. That's some good
stuff.
So
do we have
stuff.
Any more questions from the chat room?
We do. We have one question, and I think there's Lisa in the chat room. I believe she's holding on the line with a question, so I'll go ahead and ask one question. And basically, she's from the DMV area.
Okay.
But Gorgeous Ingredient, again, is asking, how does a stylist position themselves to become a brand?
I think, with Gorgeous, everything that I said is pretty much how you position yourself. Just setting goals, meeting the goals, first off, being great at what you do. You know, just really, you know, you should spend the first 10 years. If you haven't put in 10 years, then it's pretty hard to build a brand. If you,
absolutely.
I mean, just think about anybody in the business of any career that they've built for themselves. Think about what it took. I mean, how many years they're in the business. Think about Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant. Think about Jamie Foxx, Monique. I mean, Oprah. Like, just think about it. If you haven't put in 10 years, sit it down. Like, you need to put in 10 years because your first 5 is just perfecting your craft. And your next 5 is strategically figuring out what's the next step for your future goals.
Right.
I mean,
Karen, what about some of those stylists who just got lucky and maybe they lucked up and they worked with a celebrity and traveled all around the world with a celebrity and they really, you know, became popular based on that celebrity. And let's say they've only been out there for 4 or 5 years.
I mean, I don't really think, I don't believe in luck per se. I just believe in most people are, some people, that was me. I was in the right place at the right time. Remember, but I was in New York, I was in D.C. I'm from D.C. I started when I was 17, built up a clientele of maybe like 400 people by the time I was 20 years old. By the time I was 20, I moved to New York at 21, knew Puffy, got right directly into the music industry. He had just started Bad Boy. Was that luck? Or was that the three years of the hard work that I had put in and just making sure that I was fearless? I was always at the right place, the right time, you know, and making sure that, you know, I was associated with the right people. That's really it. You can't just be, you know, doing hair in the kitchen.
Right.
You
got to
make sure, you know, when I came to L.A., I was like, I want to work at the hottest salon in L.A. Again, not being afraid to work with the best because I was like, I think I'm pretty good. You know,
right.
I had to have a little confidence. I had to have confidence. That's the first thing, you know.
Right. What's the young lady's name that just asked the question in the...
Lisa. Lisa
Anderson.
Okay, so.
Hi, can you hear me? Is this Lisa?
Yes, it's Lisa.
Okay, so did she answer your question?
Hi, Kate. No, kind of yes and no. I kind of came on the phone towards the end of the conversation, so... I just wanted to thank you, Kia, for taking the time out to answer the questions. It actually means a lot because I know that your schedule is extremely busy. But I'm Lisa from the DMV. I actually remember you from way back in the day up on Georgia Avenue.
Wow, you remember me?
You used to do my hair in your basement years ago. You're really close to one of my cousins. But
and that's why you're Kia, because a lot of you guys out there who don't know me, my name is the same. I just changed the pronunciation of
Kaya
it.
Kaya now, right?
Kia Sakaya, yes.
Okay.
That's what I said earlier. I was like, Kia, they call me that for you.
I've been in the hair business for about 15 years myself. I'm a salon owner as well, but I'm feeling like I'm just stuck in between a rock and a hard place. I want to tap into TV, film, and print. So right now I'm building my portfolio to try to show it to agencies or try to assist. what is your advice on the best way to go about being seen, or, you know, get my portfolio out there, or, you know, just trying to get on an assistance list or what have you? What do you think is the best route for that?
Which city are you from?
I'm in D.C.
Okay, you're in D.C. Okay. So in D.C., what's in D.C.? I think you're in a great city. Don't they have, like, what networks are in D.C.? I know the Discovery Channel is there.
CNN's there, too.
Like, I know that we're known for a lot of congressmen and that, you know, that sort of thing. I mean, that's always the start. And I don't mind starting from the bottom and working my way up. But some of the people that I may be interested in assisting are in other cities. So does it make sense to, like, get on their list and just go, like, every other weekend, kind of like what you did? Or I just don't know the right way to go about it. Like, I'm not ready to just up and move. You know what I mean? So,
well, I think D.C. has a few places. I even know some makeup. I know Kim is there. She does makeup.
I know Kim. Kim Lee.
Yep, Kim Lee. A few people that really kind of tap into that market, that TV market.
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much what I would be doing. Like, when BET has the awards there, I know the lady of, like, which awards are there? Like, you have to get in. One thing about getting a union or television, you have to be brought in.
Okay.
That's the first. Someone has to bring you in. It's like she said, you know, is it luck? Like, I don't know. I knew Jay Manuel. Jay Manuel referred me to Tyra, and Tyra, you know, they called me for, like, almost a year and a half, and then I decided, okay, I'll do TV. Like, it was just, you know, it was just that. Like, I got brought in by a celebrity. So I really, like, they don't even, like, the union, they don't even have a lot of, black hair stylists. So that's a huge challenge in the union world. It's a really small little community. Like, even when you call, I mean, you think it's this big organization. It's not. It's maybe, like, four people that run the whole office.
Hmm.
And it's really a close-knit circuit. I mean, to really be honest, and it's about just getting in, doing the right people, getting involved in the shows that are in D.C. Anything that's in D.C. that's TV-related, I would, like, get involved somehow. Find someone that works a lot and stalk them. Like, if you just need me to work with you for a few days, I'll work for free. Just pay, get me lunch.
Right.
Like, you gotta, like, it's just about being, you know, opportunistic and really figuring it out. Like, who do I meet? Who do I... finding the right people to contact. I mean, like I said, you guys have networks there. So it's not like you're in Arkansas. You know what I mean? You're in D.C. So there are networks there that you could pretty much target.
Okay.
And then if that doesn't work, then maybe you have to move around. You know, and that was the thing. Like, with me, I moved. I was not afraid to move. And when it wasn't working, I moved again.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I had no problems with keeping it moving. When I was in New York, I was like, okay, September the 11th, the economy crashed. What the heck am I going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to LA. I'm moving to LA. I moved in 4 months.
I know,
like,
that's
it's just about timing, and I'm not saying that everybody can move like that. Everybody, you know, like, I don't even talk to people that instill fear in me at all. Like, if it's what I want to do, anything's possible. I just go do it. And that's not always the case, but when I was young and fired up, you know, I had more, you know, I was just, like, fearless. I would just go. I'm just going. And because I was a good hairstylist, do you know everyone needs that? I can go anywhere and do hair. So I just believed in myself. And for some way, I have so many stories that I could tell how I just attracted so much greatness when I just stepped out on faith.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'll see you at the top.
You're at the top, lady. You're at the top, and it'll work out. You just got to go find it. And like I said, it is a closed knit, so it's about who you know.
Okay.
So figure out who you need to know in D.C.
Okay.
All right?
Thank you
so
much.
That was so helpful. All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, thank you. Now, Kylie, we have run out of time, but, you know, we always ask this last question to all of our guests, and we want to know, what is beauty to you?
Beauty to me is beauty. Beauty to me. Beauty to me is strength. It's oh man, that's a good question. It's strength. It's confidence. It's fearlessness. It's sexy. It's not traditional. You know, it's not just like, you know, what we think is, you know, what everybody thinks is beautiful. Sometimes it's unique. It's interesting, you know, and it's inside too, you know.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, with that being said, we thank you so much for hanging out with us 2 weeks in a row.
Thank you for freeing up your schedule. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, we can't wait to get you on Beauty Talks, the web series. I think you shared some great information tonight with those callers. I mean, just, you know, really telling them really what it is and what they need to do. So it's good when you have people just being honest with people.
Yeah.
And really giving them good information.
Yeah, nobody really told me anything. I had to pretty much learn all of this on my own. So I built a little template, you know.
Right.
Make sure everybody, like every week, I'm always YouTubing, I'm blogging, so go to KayaWright.com. You can go into What's Up with Kaya. And a lot of the questions that you guys have asked me are things that I YouTube, things that I talk about. People ask me things about how I started in the industry. I have something on that. I have some fun stuff on there. I have some me going in to meet about a TV show. I mean, everything that I'm doing, I pretty much am open to sharing it with everyone. So be sure to check out my website, come subscribe to my Facebook, become one of my friends on my personal Facebook. So keep in touch, reach out, and good luck everybody out there.
Thank you so much, and we will chat again with you very soon.
Thank you,
Kaya.
And
thank Teresa also.
Okay. All right, bye-bye.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Thank you all for joining us tonight. Stay tuned to our profile page here for our next week's guest. You can send your questions and comments to info@illusionsbeauty.com. If you like tonight's show, mark it as a favorite. And keep up with us on Twitter. Talk to you all next week. Good night.
Good night.